following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be a part of the show, call 334-321-1390 or text in at 334-784-1685. The boys are bringing you all the action on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. When it comes to the Tigers, the SEC, and the hottest topics in sports, this is where you want to be.
The Auburn Tigers are headed back to Birmingham. Not for football, for basketball. It's Wednesday, and you're on the line.
Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, straight from the ESPN 106.7 studio, here's Christian Griffin and Trip Upton.
Yes, welcome in. It is the Wednesday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. I'm Christian Griffin. Appreciate everybody for being here with us. Happy Wednesday, July 15th. A hot summer day here in the Auburn Opelika area. Happy to be inside here this afternoon and appreciate everybody for spending a little bit of time here with us on the line. ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app is where you can join here with us every single day, and we appreciate it. It's been a very, very fun week, and looking forward to continuing that as we hit the middle of it here this afternoon. Happy World Cup semifinal, England and Argentina doing battle right now, 50 seconds in. This is in Atlanta, too, isn't it? It is, yes, in not Mercedes-Benz, in Atlanta Stadium. I know better than to do that. Know a couple of people that actually got some tickets to this. Funny enough, Aiden Smith, who we've talked with a lot in terms of the U.S. Soccer Federation doing all of his work with the United States World Cup, he's there right now, got some tickets. And so as much as I tried to persuade, only one ticket was available for him. And for some reason, he just didn't want to give it to me. And I can't really figure out why. I was like, all right, fine, enjoy never being on the line again. And so you can do with that what you will. But no, excited to be able to talk some football, not football, here this afternoon, and some basketball as well. We also have a guest returning back to the phone lines, taking up that usual 2:30 slot, Mr. Jordan Hill of Dogs 24/7. It's been a couple of weeks since we've gotten to speak with him, but back in town, and especially now with all of the SEC Media Day news being released, all of the Georgia players being announced, in some football, some basketball recruiting news in there as well, as we head up to Athens at 2:30. I mentioned it, I'm Christian Griffin, and across from me is my man Trip Upton. Happy Wednesday, sir. Appreciate you for continuing to get everything neared up and ready to go for SEC Media Days, which I know we are both very, very excited for, counting down the days.
Yes, happy Wednesday. Definitely a beautiful day outside, as you said earlier. Me and Brandon were actually in here building a TV rolling cart.
Like one of the old school ones?
No, not one of the old school. It's like a metal. We had to effectively mount a TV today.
Heck yeah.
Where? So it's on a cart. It's in Ben's office. And so we that's
let's take you. Come on, we'll go.
Yeah. It's in our building somewhere. And so it is for when we meet with our friends over in Sylacauga, or our people. It's more of the salespeople that do stuff with it for virtual meetings. And so because of some staffing changes, we had to move the TV from the desk it was at, because someone was going to take over that desk, and put it on a cart, so now we can roll it around. So we mounted it up, so if you hear any loud banging in the back, that's me and Brandon's handiwork from if it falls down. But no, happy Wednesday. As Christian said, we are excited to be able to be another day closer to heading to Tampa for SEC Media Days. We got some cool interviews. We got some good ones lined up already, and some confirmations of one came a couple hours ago that I think Monday, to kick off the week, I don't know if we want to advertise it yet, but it is it's someone that Auburn fans will know really well.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good way of putting it. We'll continue to tease some of the guests that we have found out that we will have, whether live, whether pre-recorded, or whatever the case may be, but continuing to get some really good names, some really big-time names, and some big Auburn names for you coming up in Tampa, doing a lot of hard work. Again, we take a whole lot of pride in what we do, not only from the standpoint of having our names attached to the title of the show, but understanding the responsibility of bringing you coverage, bringing you excitement, and again, that we take a lot of pride in doing so, and we greatly appreciate, again, all of the feedback, again, as we are now over a month into the revamped On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. And the engagements, even though it's been the summer, has not died down, whether that's the phone lines, whether that's the text box. Even with the text box change, we continue to get it. And so we'll continue to hype that up because we know there's going to be more and more people tuning in every single day starting next week, because it feels like that is the unofficial kickoff for the college football season. But for everybody that's been here with us through the change, throughout the summer, making us to where we're having a whole lot of fun every time we step in the studio, we greatly, greatly appreciate it. And the text box is always open here this afternoon. If you have any quick hitters, any thoughts that you would like to send our way, any questions you have for Jordan Hill as well, again, the phone lines obviously close during the interviews, but the text box never does. And if there's any specific questions that you have for any of our guests ever, you can always shoot them our way at 334-784-1685, 334-784-1OTL. And if you want to be a part of the show, the phone lines are open as well for the first 30 minutes of today's program. We'll close them when we get to Jordan Hill at 2:30, but then they're wide open once again in hour number two, where we'll dive into a little bit more of a football conversation with Auburn football and something that you came up with, partner, a couple of days ago, and we continued to get breaking news and news that we had been waiting for quite some time, and so we knew we needed to get that, not even out of the way, but get that in record, get that out for everybody. But now we hit a little bit more of the talking season conversations. Yes. to wrap up July, wrap up these conversations before we get to SEC Media Days, and just the value that wins can bring for the Auburn Tigers in 2026 versus what could happen with losses. And so kind of weighing the pros that are the pros and the cons, I guess, that can happen with each event. And so we'll dive into a lot of that here in hour number two. But yeah, it is really, really exciting. The more news that we get for SEC Media Day is continuing to count us down closer to Monday. We'll be in Tampa live.
Yeah, next week, ESPN 106.7 heads to Tampa, Florida for the SEC Media Days presented by the Orthopedic Clinic, Auburn Plaza Bar and Lounge, Apex Pest Solutions, and The Depot in downtown Auburn. We'll be there Monday through Thursday for live coverage from Digital Drive as we prepare to kick off another football season. It's the best time of the year. Our 7 hours of local coverage each weekday begins with Doug Amos and the Max Roundtable from 11 to 2 p.m. They will be there, and then myself and Christian Griffin will bring you On the Line live from Tampa, 2 to 4 p.m., the same time frame. And we will have, again, we have some great stuff planned, so make sure to tune in there. Bill Cameron will close out the day with The Drive. He'll hear from both of us as well as his guests. So make sure to stay tuned in after we get off the air and come back with Bill Cameron. Throughout the week, we'll bring you the latest headlines, interviews, and storylines from around the Tigers, the Tide, and the SEC's biggest talking points entering the 2026 football season. A special thank you again to the Orthopedic Clinic, Auburn Plaza Bar and Lounge, Apex Pest Solutions, and The Depot in downtown Auburn for making our SEC Media Days coverage possible. And I mean, I say that not only from the fact that the network, but also myself and Christian being able to go down there and cover it live in person. Christian, you were in Atlanta last season. This will be my first Media Days, but I'm sure that no matter what, we are going to be able to have a blast and be able to give you great coverage and give you the best coverage, that you are the most informed person. And being a listener on our show, we try to strive to do that. But make sure, tune in all week long for live local coverage from SEC Media Days in Tampa, Florida, right here on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
Yeah, and again, it's not only just the making sure you're the most informed, but Again, just our pride, our joy in bringing really, really good coverage, some really good interviews, as we mentioned, we have lined up for every single day. We have some scheduled ones already. We know that we walk around and get plenty of unscheduled guests as well. That's a big part of walking around and getting everything that we can. And so, again, really, really excited for SEC Media Days coming up starting on Monday. But let's take a step back from the football conversations for a little bit, because some breaking news in terms of basketball. As of this morning, a preseason scrimmage was announced for the Auburn Tigers, and they make their way back to Birmingham to face an ACC opponent. And it feels like, wow, believe it or not, Auburn plays Florida State. Okay, this must be baseball. Is this a regional? It feels like it's got to be. Is this postseason anywhere? Nope, it's preseason. The Ballin' and Boutwell, Auburn was there last year taking on Oklahoma State and fell in a heartbreaker. But going back again, and it feels like this is a very, very good early season test for a Tigers team that's looking to improve on what was the frustrating regular season, ultimately ended up being the quote-unquote, we'll take it from Kevin Overton, beating Tulsa in the NIT Championship. You're taking on a Florida State team that finished 18-15 last year on their first-year head coach. And so two programs that are trying to continue to build. Should be a really good early season test for the Auburn Tigers in Birmingham.
Yeah, looking at this Florida State team, they actually played in this event last year against the other team that plays at the Alabama Crimson Tide, where they lost by 4. And then had an up-and-down season. They competed in a lot of games with good teams. They barely lost to Florida by 2 in a rivalry game in Gainesville, which is, as any Auburn fan will tell you, a hard place to play, especially on the hardwood. They kept it close with Duke multiple times in Tallahassee. They only lost by 4, and then again in the ACC Championship, only losing by 1 in the quarterfinals of that tournament, also with solid wins here and there, again beating Miami before they really got hot. And looking at some losses, though, again, they lost the teams they were supposed to lose to, dropped a game to UMass in the Orange Bowl Basketball Classic, lost to Houston, got beat in a reverse score game 95-59 against Texas A&M in Tampa. So look, this Florida State team, it'll be a good test for what Stephen Pearl is going to want to be able to do. As you mentioned, Auburn played in this event last season, taking on the Oklahoma State Cowboys, and that was a game that Auburn lost, and it was more of the, okay, is Oklahoma State actually pretty good to compete with Auburn, rather than maybe being concerned about what Auburn could be and could do. But I think that once we got into the season, I think we just saw that maybe Auburn needed some time to gel. I mean, you saw it game one against Bethune-Cookman going to overtime, and I've never seen a team that just white hot from the 3-point line and win a kind of, or at least compete in a David v. Goliath matchup in Neville Arena. But I definitely like the mindset of, we're going to still play top competition. Florida State is still a good basketball team. If you were to put them in most other conferences, they're probably the conference champion, or at least making it to the final of that conference tournament. But being able to do that, and the iron sharpens iron, and for a good cause as well, in the battle, I think they do a ton of either NIL or charity or something like that.
Yeah, a little bit of everything.
Yes, and so that will be really cool to watch going and getting the basketball started for Auburn Tigers.
Yeah, Auburn fell 97-95 last year to Oklahoma State in the exhibition game. And you mentioned, was it Oklahoma State that was really good, or was it Auburn that's maybe not where they need to be quite yet? Keyshawn Hall had 26-8 on the night, but you go and you look at, okay, well, what was Auburn's main weakness last year? It was rebounding, and it was giving up the 3. Isaiah Coleman for Oklahoma State had 28-8, and Anthony Roy had 28-12.
Yeah.
So, again, these were the stats that I was able to find. I don't think they kept true stats on that side of things. But, again, a totally revamped team for Stephen Pearl and the Tigers. They had a scrimmage early this afternoon, that I know a lot of the beat writers were able to go, and they were able to cover for their respective sites. And so excited to hear more and more news based off of what is expected to come out of Neville Arena on the hardwood and basketball, just because of the different styles of basketball that you can play. It felt like last year there were a whole lot of question marks, but they were not necessarily question marks looking at like football this year or even basketball this upcoming season, of question marks that can easily lead into really exciting exclamation points, if you will, like a Byron Brown going from the G5 level to the SEC. That's a question mark that comes with a little bit of confidence. Last year's team came with question marks, and it was, okay, we hope that this works, right? The athleticism is there. The fast break tendencies of playing really fast are there, and you didn't necessarily see a whole lot of that. And the defensive prowess that you feel like the Auburn team has been built off over the last handful of years wasn't really there. So really cool to see, again, being able to go to the same arena and play another really P4, a really high-quality team in Florida State. Also, shout-out to Coach Larry Vickers as well. They will be taking on UCF the same day. That was a noon scheduled tip. Auburn and Florida State scheduled for 7 p.m. on Wednesday. You also have Samford and Alabama A&M on Tuesday, October 13th. You have Alabama and...
to be determined.
Yes, Alabama and TBD, the women at noon, and then the men at 7 o'clock. And so a full Auburn day on Wednesday, a full Alabama day on Thursday. But really cool to see, as we are 91 days until Auburn basketball. And not that anybody's counting, but we really pray that we are not counting down the days to Auburn basketball, as you feel like you have been over the last handful of years, where you got to the point of, okay, it's now the end of September, it's early October, it's almost basketball season. You ready to walk across the street? You ready to walk inside a Neville Arena? Not that I'm shying away from the excitement of basketball, but I'd be perfectly fine if the excitement of football almost carried us to basketball and it got to the point of, oh, yeah, basketball is kicking off as well.
Yeah, I don't want it to be where Auburn is down 10-3 to Kentucky and our good buddy Rick Smith goes, basketball season is soon approaching and it's the
loudest
cheer of the night.
Yeah.
That's what I hope that we are excited for basketball, for both, as you said, men's taking on the Seminoles and the women's with Coach Larry Vickers taking on the UCF Knights. That's going to be awesome to see there. This will be the women's basketball's first appearance for Auburn in Boutwell. So that'll be really cool for that program and their development. Again, Alabama not announced opponents yet. I wouldn't be surprised, given the fact that Alabama, A&M, and Samford played last year. I wouldn't be surprised if Oklahoma State would be playing Alabama. Wouldn't shock me, but you never know.
To have a full...
Yeah, full round robin, or, you know, Alabama. Maybe they could actually play UAB for once. I know that Bama sometimes will duck that in-state competition. Not as a joke. I think last time they played each other, UAB won. I saw that somewhere. I'd have to double check on that. But no, I think it's a great opportunity for an exhibition. I remember when these used to be like secret scrimmages, or what they were kind of called, where it was like, oh, Auburn defeated UConn today in a secret scrimmage inside of Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
It's like
they didn't keep the score, but we have insight that it was 72-68.
Yeah, now it's legitimately just like they're going to play basketball. Maybe it's not on TV. It's on a YouTube stream or something like that. Great, you know?
Hey, if they need somebody to announce it, let us know.
Oh, for sure, yeah. Yeah, we would definitely totally be neutral in commentary for that. But no, I'm sure we would be. But no, I think it's going to be a great early season tool for Steven and this team to kind of build an identity, build a team that is expecting to be good. I haven't looked at any preseason ACC power rankings, but Florida State has the resources and the history. I mean, having Leonard Hamilton there for so long and bringing in a new coach, if he's worth his pedigree, there will be some noise coming out of Florida State this year when they get, especially with an expanded tournament. It's just a matter of, can both of these teams capitalize on that opportunity?
I'm still scrolling. Florida State is projected to finish ninth in the ACC.
I mean, I know...
In front of SMU, Syracuse, Boston College, Pitt, Stanford, Notre Dame, Cal, Georgia Tech, Wake Forest. So, we've talked a lot about the ACC in terms of football being a little bit weaker towards the bottom. You think basketball is right there. And so I don't fully expect ninth in the ACC to be even comparable to ninth in the SEC, because the ACC, if you finish ninth in the SEC, you're making the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, the ACC is still, I mean, historically a good basketball conference. And if you are ninth in the ACC, you are probably a next four out team now with the expansion. Again, it depends on how strong the top of the conference is. If you have like Duke and UNC carrying the banner, then everyone else kind of near the middle, you're going to get more teams in. But it'll be a great matchup to see. Also, I did check on that UAB-Bama stat. UAB 1-0 against Alabama all-time in basketball. They last played March 18th, 1993. The Blazers won 58-56.
Well, yeah. I don't know if you can take full credit for knowing that was because you weren't even a thought back then.
No, I wasn't.
I thought they would have played more recently. I thought they played in like the 2010s, in like the late 2010s.
No,
I guess not.
No, I don't know. I don't know why. I don't want to get into university trustee, school board, state board politics. That's not my goal. But a very good opportunity for the Tigers to showcase on a regional stage and potentially a national stage. If you go and beat a Power 5 team, the headlines are going to like you a lot come that Tuesday or that next day for sure.
Yeah, Auburn to face Florida State in the third annual Ballin' in Batwell on Wednesday, October 14th in Birmingham. We'll take our first break here this afternoon. Stick with the NBA, or stick with basketball a little bit. Work our way into the NBA. Talk about what some of the Tigers are doing in some of the summer league action and some noise that some other Tigers are expected to make before we get with Jordan Hill of Dogs 24/7. All of that here in hour number one on the Wednesday edition of On the Line.
From revolution to rockets, from dusty frontiers to city skylines, these are the moments that shaped America. This is the American Minute presented by Bucks Island. July 4th, 1776. Inside Philadelphia's Pennsylvania State House, 56 men prepared to sign a document unlike any the world had ever seen. A declaration that 13 small colonies would break away from the most powerful empire on earth. If they failed, it would be treason, punishable by death. John Hancock signed first, boldly. Then the others followed, farmers, merchants, lawyers. Ordinary men risking everything. Their words, radical for the time. That all men are created equal. Now, 2.5 centuries later, that idea still echoes. One defining moment that shaped the country we call home. This American Minute is presented by Bucks Island, family owned and operated, serving boaters since 1948. Online at bucksisland.com.
You're on the line with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton. Be a part of the show by calling 334-321-1390 or text us at 334-784-1685.
All right, we're back here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. Appreciate everybody for being here with us. He is Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. Having a good time here in the studio. And we transition from Auburn college basketball to Auburn in the NBA and Auburn in the Summer League, because there are some players that are making a name for themselves right now. And for those that remember the name Chaney Johnson over on the Brooklyn Nets, last year appeared in 17 games towards the end of the season, averaged right around 8 points, 4.5 rebounds and 2 assists per game, playing just over 20 minutes a night. He signed a 1-year two-way contract this offseason with the Nets. And you talk about, again, we saw this when he was at on the Auburn Tigers team, just the pure athleticism, the pure ability that he has, where if he can get it all pieced together, this could be just an absolute freak of nature. I mean, you see the verticality, you see the physicality as well. And I think he has been very, very impressive, not only last year, but this year as well, when he's playing legitimate minutes. And in the two summer league games that they played in Vegas a couple of days ago, he averaged 15.5, 9.5, and 4.5 steals per game. You talk about a guy that can make an impact on a Nets team that I don't think is expected to make too much noise in this year's NBA. Shooting 65% from the field, shooting 60% from three in those two games. And so, yes, a very small sample size. Yet that being said, you feel like that brings a whole lot of excitement just because of what we've seen him be able to do. But again, if he can piece all of that together at the next level, he can be one of those guys that makes a big-time impact on an NBA team.
Yeah, looking at, I mean, this, I didn't realize the state of this Nets roster until like I went and just looked. Yeah, I think their best player is Michael Porter Jr. and Julius Randle. So there will be some opportunities if he can overtake like a Danny Wolfe or try and get into the rotation. I know he's listed as a small forward on the unnamed search engine, but and he's so he could get some playing time. But Terrence Mann on that team as well.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting to see kind of what he does there. Another summer league kind of story that's come out of Philadelphia.
Yeah,
is Jahni Broome and LeBaron Filon were supposed to be teammates in college, and Filon decommits and flips to Alabama, a common trend of what we're going to talk about today, unfortunately, when we switch over to the football side of things. But now they're on the same team for the Philadelphia 76ers, and they are playing pretty well together. Not earlier today, though, as they played, LeBaron had 17 points, was 7 of 11 from the field. Jahni Broome had 2 points and was 0 for 3 from the free throw line, 1 for 5 from the field, 3 fouls. So,
well, maybe they didn't eat the minutes that he had before, because before that, in the two games, he had 19 and 13 on Thursday, and then he had 23 and 11 against Indiana.
Law of averages.
Yes. Again, plus 18 in the two games that he played in the summer league. And yeah, it's funny seeing the 76ers post the pictures of Jahni and LeBaron playing together and throwing passes to one another, but then the pictures of them guarding one another in college, and how the classic, like, who thought we'd be here?
Yeah.
Not us. Like, 76ers posting that, I think, is really, really funny.
Or like the Step Brothers, like, did we just become best friends?
Yeah.
Yep. That is fire movie, obviously, but
very much so.
Very much so, yeah.
And then Dylan Cardwell as well. I mean, continuing to do Dylan Cardwell things. I don't think that he's out there necessarily trying to prove a name for himself, because I think everybody there in Sacramento has very quickly learned to love Mr. Dylan Cardwell, because he's the exact same player that he was when he was an Auburn Tiger. I mean, he pinned somebody off the backboard and he screams to where if you're outside the stadium, you'd be able to hear it. And he is very much just an actor that just happens to have the most athleticism you feel like you've ever seen.
And just a hype man.
He is the ultimate hype man that just also happens to be one of the guys on the floor, because he's somebody you just can't take off the floor just based off of what he does, his rim protection, his athleticism, his ability to throw down the alley-oops. And he's got a little bit of finesse, believe it or not. He's figured out a little bit of a finesse game, and looking forward to seeing what he does in year two with Sacramento.
Yeah, excited to see that. Hopefully he can lead them to some wins, but that'll be a very interesting through line to look for next season with so many Auburn Tigers across the league.
Yeah, should be really, really exciting. We'll take a break. We'll see what Jordan Hill has to say. Any basketball news before SEC Media Days with Jordan Hill of Dogs 24/7.
You're on the line, and we're just 30 minutes in. Now back to the studio with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton on ESPN 106.7.
Minutes in here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. He is Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. Appreciate everybody for spending some time with us here on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. And we now make our way up to Athens, Georgia, to a guy that's been a little bit since we've talked with him, hopefully working on a nice little tan, Mr. Jordan Hill of Dogs 24/7. Hopefully all is well as you're in your world as we prepare for SEC Media Days coming up here in a couple of days.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys having me back on, and not really got a tan going on, but managed to not get burnt. That's usually my goal when I get a little bit of a break. But nice to catch up with you guys, and nice to have quite a bit to talk about with SEC Media Days. Hard to believe, less than a week away.
Yeah, the fact that we are basically halfway through the month of July, it feels like we just wrapped up baseball season, where again Auburn and Georgia were two of the longest playing teams in one, I guess two of the 16, but Georgia obviously making it to Omaha having a frustrating spot there, but it feels like that was just a week or so ago that we were able to fully wrap up that coverage. And so definitely wild to think that SEC Media Days and the unofficial start of college football is right here. The first 30 minutes, Jordan, we talked basketball. Is there anything in terms of Mike White's program that is worth noting right now in terms of recruiting or just any sort of bullet points that we need to know?
Yeah, I want to shout out Mike White. He took some time earlier this week and sat down with members of the media just to kind of give us an update on the off season. Really nothing too wild as Georgia gets ready for the 26-27 season, but something that I know will matter when Georgia and Auburn play this year for any Auburn fans that are listening in. I'm just very interested with this Georgia basketball team with the four returning starters from last year. Bring back Smurf Millender, Blue Kane, who's coming into his fourth year at Georgia, Cannon Catchings, who was phenomenal down the stretch for Georgia, and then Kareem Stagg, who was a freshman last year, who I expect to play quite a bit. And, you know, talking about what this Georgia team did, they brought in nine new players this offseason, five transfers, four high school guys, but have that core four, I think that's going to be really the group that determines how good this Georgia team can be. And, you know, I look at Cannon Catchings, especially with how well he played late in the year, had a career game against Alabama and a big upset victory the last week of the regular season and continued to play well after that. So I think Georgia's in a pretty good spot right now. You look at recruiting, no commitments in this upcoming class, but there is momentum. Some of the guys are going after a name folks should pay attention to if you're a Georgia fan. Jarvis Hayes Jr., his father played at Georgia, is now on the coaching staff. I think that things are trending in the right direction for this recruiting cycle. They were very quiet in this past cycle, kind of added more to it after the season ended. I don't think that'll be the case this year. I think Georgia is going to be working on what could very well be the best high school class that Mike White has signed at Georgia. That would be tremendous, obviously, for the future of the program.
Jordan, looking at UGA's non-conference basketball schedule, they've got some big games, a lot against ACC opponents. You have to go, you play North Carolina, you have the annual game against Georgia Tech, as well as playing Duke in the Jimmy V Classic and Boston College in the SEC-ACC Challenge. What games could really impact the momentum of what Georgia wants to do going forward in the non-conference?
Well, I think you have to be reasonable when you look at some of those games, specifically North Carolina and Duke in New York. I don't know that Georgia will be able to win either one of those games, but making the most of that experience, playing close, making, you know, showing that they are a competitive team that can hang with some of the very best in the ACC, which when you're talking about some of the best in the ACC, you're talking about some of the best basketball programs in the country. But you look at games against Boston College, and they'll also play at Georgia Tech this year in that annual rivalry game. Those are the ones you got to win, I think. You know, I think with Boston College starting over with a new head coach, Luke Murray, the former UConn assistant who is also Bill Murray's son, and then Georgia Tech also starting over with Scott Cross from Troy, now leading the program. So a big opportunity there. And yeah, I know that this is a step up in competition across the board when you look at the non-conference schedule we know to this point, specifically those games against North Carolina and Duke. And I asked Mike White about that on Tuesday, and he said that that was sort of the hope, that Georgia would play some of these marquee non-conference games, and that he kind of wants that to be the standard, that they go out there, put their program on display on a national level and see what they can do, and maybe win a few of these games.
For a team that's made a little bit of noise in the end of the regular seasons into March Madness over the last handful of years, Mike White definitely looking to continue to improve that, and don't want to wish away basketball season yet. Yet that being said, you feel like we're all perfectly fine if football season wants to be at the forefront of everybody's brain for the next handful of months. And we mentioned it with Tampa, Florida, heading to Tampa for SEC Media Day starting next week. All of the players have been announced, and Georgia Georgia. I don't think it's much of a surprise that Gunnar Stockton is making his way with Kirby Smart. Center Drew Bobo, who I know the Auburn fans know quite well, at least the Auburn High fans, and Raylan Wilson, the three Bulldogs again attending with Kirby Smart, taking the stage on Tuesday with the Auburn Tigers in that morning slate. Talk to us about what those three players mean to this Georgia program and why you think they were selected as those captains.
Yeah, I mean, these guys are three of the leaders in this team and, all, you know, for this program. And not surprised to see any of them. Excited to hear really from all three of them. And I'll start with Drew Bobo. You mentioned, you know, Auburn High grad. I had a chance to cover him when I was still at the Black Auburn News. So hoping some of the Auburn folks have a chance to check in with him while he is in Tampa. But a little surprised to see him make the trip because he's coming off of a foot injury that ended his season last November. Didn't practice here in spring, but he did warm up before the spring game. So I think that bodes well. I have no doubt he's going to be asked about that injury history and how he's doing. Raylan Wilson, I mean, this is one of the leaders on this defense and a guy that's going to be counted on to step up in a big way. This defense lost their leading tackler from last year, C.J. Allen, now with the Indianapolis Colts. And I think Raylan's the type of linebacker that he has a big year, and you know he could go early in next year's draft because of how talented he is, how athletic he is.
Sure.
So to hear from him, to kind of learn what he thinks about this defense and sort of how high the standard is, that'll be a big part of the conversation. And last but not least, the quarterback, Gunnar Stockton. I believe there are nine quarterbacks that are going to be representing their teams at SEC Media Days. So not surprised to see Gunnar, who's also, this is his second straight trip. He made the trip last year. And I think that, you know, this is the conversation I believe is going to be focused on, can Gunnar take a step forward? You know, I think some Georgia fans are frustrated with some of the games where, you know, he was a quarterback last year, had some major highs and had some lows along the way. But you always look for a quarterback in his second year as a starter. Hey, can he take it a step forward? Can he be more consistent? I believe he can be, but I think Gunnar's going to have to kind of talk about that. His projection going into his redshirt senior season, and it'll also be good to talk to Drew Bobo about it too, since he's the center that's always standing right there in front of number 14.
Those three players making their way to Tampa, Florida with head coach Kirby Smart. We got Jordan Hill of Dogs 24/7 here with us on the phone lines. Jordan, we will have you live on air for the show next Wednesday, correct?
We'll see. We'll have to figure out our schedule. I'm going to be traveling a little bit. I'm not actually going to be in Tampa for too long, but worst case, we can be on the phone.
Yeah, well, we'll plan something out then. But again, Georgia set to take the stage on Tuesday morning, and Kirby Smart, being one of those Nick Saban tree branches, it feels like, has not one that is overly outspoken at SEC Media Days. Definitely wants to kind of get in and get out, and doesn't really care if Georgia wins the media, doesn't necessarily say anything that will make Georgia lose the media, and you feel like somebody that's as comfortable at his spot like a Kirby Smart will never be in a position like that. But when Kirby Smart decides to open up and talk about his team, talk about the SEC, what was talked about possibly in Destin during spring meetings, what are some of the things that you would like to highlight or you'd like to see him highlight when talking with the media on Tuesday morning?
Yeah, I'll be really interested just to sort of hear the updates on the injuries. Georgia's in a pretty good spot as far as guys that had been banged up during spring practice, guys that they're expecting to be full go by the time we're talking about fall camp, which is probably 3 or 4 weeks away at this point. But mentioned Drew Bobo, Jaden Walker, an inside linebacker, Gabe Harris, a defensive end. Those are among the guys that they are hoping will be ready to roll by the time they get to fall camp. So looking to get updates there. Interested to hear. Kirby's always one that kind of has a motto or a mantra for a team. Last year it was fire, passion, and energy. It's what they wanted to see from each of their players. You know, not being driven by NIL or anything like that, but, you know, for the love of the game and going out there. And that was a big point of conversation throughout the 25 season. So let's see if they kind of stick with that or if they kind of change things up going into this year. And I will be interested to kind of hear Kirby's thoughts on some of the bigger picture things going on right now with college athletics. You know, the conversation's continuing about Congress making a push to try to save college athletics. Let's see if he has anything to say there. But really probably more so the 5 for 5, which is in place, and what that's going to mean really for Georgia roster building going forward. I mean, there is, I think, 5 or 6 Georgia players who have not redshirted but are in their fourth year mm-hmm. seniors, who in theory could come back for another year. Now, some of those guys, like a Raylan Wilson, who I mentioned earlier, don't think they're going to be worried about that. They're going to be playing in the NFL next year, but there are some guys who could potentially stick around and play for another year. I'm kind of pick Kirby's brain about how he's sort of considering that new 5 for 5, how they want to handle that going forward, and what exactly that means, because, you know, I think in a way that is going to further log jam high school recruiting. And, you know, the high school recruiting experience has changed significantly in the last few years because of the portal. I would imagine granting a lot of these guys an additional year on top of the 4 they had before, that's going to make the people in charge of the rosters at schools like Georgia really crunch the numbers to make sure they make the very most of those 105 spots they have.
It's no secret, Jordan, that Kirby is one of the spokespersons, not only for the SEC, but for all of college football. Has he made any comments in terms of the pressure that he feels in whether that's saying the right things, doing the right things when it comes to what you mentioned in the Congress, the 5 for 5? Because it would be one thing for all respect, but a Kennesaw head coach or whatever the case may be. But when you have somebody like a Dabo Swinney, like a Kirby Smart, a Steve Sarkisian, Dan Lanning, whoever the case may be, the faces of college football, is there any added pressure to make sure that he's not only A, representing the league that he's in very well, but also representing his brand and his name in terms of anything regarding the future of college sports?
I think the biggest thing that I've learned with Kirby over the years is he is not going to make a statement or kind of, you know, pick a stance unless he feels very strongly about that stance. And, you know, I go back to spring meetings. He was very much a proponent of, hey, if the SEC has to go its own way mm-hmm. in terms of rule enforcement and the implementation of rules, then he was comfortable with it. And that, you know, it's a pretty radical stance when you consider what college athletics has been, you know, over the last 100 years or so. But there are times where, you know, you can ask Kirby something and he kind of bats the question away or says, you know, that he hadn't really formed an opinion on it. So if he does come out and makes really strong stances on, you know, the Congressional Act I mentioned or the 5 for 5, if I'm remembering right, I think during spring meetings, he came out and was very much a proponent of giving guys that 5 for 5 mm-hmm. setup. So if you do see him kind of put his foot down on a certain situation, just know that that means he feels very strongly about it. There are plenty of times he kind of gets asked big picture questions and kind of just lets the pitch go by because he doesn't necessarily feel strongly about what's being asked.
Jordan Hill of Dogs 247. Another important part of what happens down at SEC Media Days is the SEC preseason poll, and Georgia will be very high on that list. I mean, for a team that has been to Atlanta every year except one since they moved to Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and the two-time defending SEC champions, the Dogs are not a stranger to having high preseason expectations. Do you think that will continue? And what is kind of the overall outlook on what your poll and your ranking might look like for the SEC this season?
Yeah, I would predict, just based on how the voters will go through it next week, I think that they'll have Georgia and Texas in the SEC title game, which is the game we got a couple of years ago. To me, just reading it and going through and trying to learn about all these teams, I think the three teams that are really in the best spot to contend for that spot, those two spots in Atlanta, are Georgia, Texas, and Oklahoma. And I think folks are kind of sleeping on Oklahoma, but I made this point on our podcast earlier this week. Oklahoma is the only SEC team to bring back their leading passer, their leading rusher, their leading receiver, their leading tackler, and their head coach from last season. Wow. Now, they have to do a better job running the ball, because I think their leading rusher ended up with like 430 yards, which when you look at Oklahoma and how well they've run the football over the course of the program's history, that's very far off of what you would expect. So those are the teams I'm watching. I wouldn't be surprised if Ole Miss and Alabama are very much in that conversation. But for me, I have Georgia and Texas at the top of this league. I have Georgia winning the SEC again. And now I think it'll be a situation not unlike last year where we're talking about 5-6 playoff caliber teams in this conference. And another situation where, hey, just because Georgia won the conference doesn't necessarily mean they'll be the last SEC team standing as we get through the playoff.
Jordan Hill of Dogs 24/7 here with us on the phone line. Jordan, we appreciate your time. Again, happy that everything went well. Vacation-wise, excited to get you back on the schedule and be able to talk with you from now, working our way up into college football season and through college football season. Appreciate your time. Plug everything that you have going on up through the summer months and where everybody can go to keep up with any of your coverage throughout SEC Media Days and beyond.
I appreciate you guys. Yes, dogs247.com on Twitter, at Jordan Davis Hill on Twitter, at dogs247. Got the Junkyard Dogcast podcast. Got that thing rocking and rolling. And once we get to the football season, we'll have 3 episodes a week, really keeping everybody up to speed with everything going on. And hey, I want to shout out, when we're talking about 24/7 Network, our friends over at the Auburn site had a rebrand that started today. Yes. Auburn 24/7 is the name of the site, but you guys know everybody that's over there. Jason Caldwell, Nathan King, Christian Clemente, they do a fantastic job. So just wanted to plug that. If you go over there, the site might look a little different, but they continue to crush it, and super excited to get to catch up with those guys down in Tampa as well as you guys as we get down there too.
Yeah, my man, we appreciate your time. Looking forward to talking to you again next Wednesday about all things recapping the Georgia Bulldogs in Tampa.
All right, sounds great. Appreciate you guys.
Jordan Hill of Dogs 24/7 with us on the phone lines. Again, really excited to be able to continue all of that coverage from Athens, because, again, we find a lot of value in not only making sure that you know everything going on in the Auburn world, but you can take 15 minutes out of your week to learn about things that are going on in Athens and some of the other rivalries in Tuscaloosa in there as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back and wrap up hour number one right after this here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. Appreciate Jordan Hill of Dogs 24/7 for joining us on the phone lines. It's been a couple of weeks, and so really excited to be able to have him back, especially on a week like this where it's the final time, breaking down everything that we expect to hear from their respective teams and from the Georgia Bulldogs before they get to Tampa. Because, funny enough, the next time we talk to him after Georgia goes on Tuesday, it will be a full recap of not only what Georgia goes with, but any big remarks from Greg Sankey, anything that Sankey says that Kirby doubles down on. And so really, really excited to be able to continue having him be a big part of the show. And while we have just a minute or two before the music kicks us out of here and we wrap up hour number one, looking at halftime in Mercedes-Benz or in Atlanta Stadium, there are 19 fouls between the two squads of England and Argentina, and I believe there have been like 2 total shots or 2 shots on goals, but
nil-nil,
and holy cow, I mean, we got grass stains all the way through, and you can see the sweat from every single one of the players on the pitch. This is a very heated matchup, and arguably and rightfully so, with the winner making their way to the World Cup Finals and 2 of the best teams. But feels like right now it's almost like a football game that's played between the 30s, where just an ugly game.
This, and you don't love Big Ten football. I mean, this
basically
is. This is geopolitical. It's the war for the Falkland Islands Part 2 I've seen everywhere. That is it's got history here, so hopefully I'm rooting for England personally, but it's going to be a great matchup all throughout.
Yellow cards being thrown out, like holding penalties and false starts. I wonder who Michael Harris is cheering for.
Probably England.
Those videos are fantastic.
Those are
of
awesome.
Him being walking in a Harris wonderland. Hour number one in the books. We'll stick with MLB here just for a moment before we get a full Auburn football conversation to get us going here in hour number two.
Is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be a part of the show, call 334-321-1390 or text in at 334-784-1685. The boys are bringing you all the action on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. When it comes to the Tigers, the SEC, and the hottest topics in sports, this is where you want to be.
What can the Auburn Tigers gain or lose from each college football game they play in 2026?
Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, straight from the ESPN 106.7 studio, here's Christian Griffin and Trip Upton.
Hour number one in the books. We welcome you into hour number two here on this Wednesday edition of On the Line. Another hot day in the Auburn Opelika area. Not as warm. I guess it only says it's 85 according to my unnamed weather app. And so you'll take that over what it could possibly be here on this July 15th. Crazy to think about, and not even programming notes, but 1st of August, I'm making my way across the entire country on a little bit of a work adventure. And the fact that they sat there and said, yeah, it's summer here right now, and we don't have our AC on.
Bro.
They said, bring layers.
Huh?
They said to not only bring a sweatshirt, but, again, like, bring a jacket to wear over the sweatshirt, because if it gets below 70, they said it's cold. And so trying to fathom that is a wild concept for here when I walk to go to the mailbox and come back and feel like I have to get in the shower. So do with that what you will, but just a weird thoughts of how everything works on that side of things. That was not what we talked about in hour number one, though, because in hour number one, we gave you the news on Auburn basketball making their way back up to Birmingham in the exhibition game in the Ballin' of Boutwell, taking on Florida State, a team that finished 18-15 in the ACC, projected to finish ninth in the ACC this season, and what that could mean for Stephen Pearl in the early test, a big test for the Tigers before, again, they work their way into a difficult but manageable non-conference schedule. This is not what it was over the past couple of years. You go a couple years back and you feel like you can make the comparisons of, you have some of those really tough games, but you also have a couple of the ones of, okay, you're back at home, here you can catch your breath. Or even if you go on the road, it's still a very manageable game. It's not just the overall gauntlet of, okay, here's the top 10 teams in the AP poll, or the top 25. Go play them back-to-back games. I feel like that's what it's been over the last handful of years, but they get it going with Florida State on Wednesday, October 14th. The women and Larry Vickers also play that afternoon. They are scheduled for a noon tip against Central Florida. And so, again, excited for the basketball season, but not wanting to wish away football quite yet. That's a lot of what hour number two will be. We took a look at what Auburn players in the NBA are doing, especially in the Summer League right now, with Chaney Johnson, Jani Broom, Dylan Cardwell, again, continuing to play really, really well in there as well. Before we got with Jordan Hill of Dogs 24/7 to give us all of our news from Athens, Georgia. Talked a little bit of basketball, talked about how there's not any recruits right now for this upcoming season, but how he's expecting there to be a couple of big-time names making their way to Athens, being there with Mike White, saying that he met with the media a couple of days ago, just to kind of give a big-time general recap for what the Dogs had done up to this point. And then we talked about what he's going to see, what he expects to see with the Georgia Bulldogs in Tampa, Florida on Tuesday morning, the same time slot for the Auburn Tigers. And so, especially on that Tuesday, we'll be doing a lot of running around, making sure that we give everything that we need to for those two teams. But all of that was in hour number one. If you missed any of it, you can always go back and check it out at our podcast center over at ESPNAU.com.
And in hour number two, we're going to look at a thought exercise and see kind of what are the stakes of every single Auburn football game this season. What can Auburn gain by winning said game? but what could they lose, or what could happen if they were to lose that game in a vacuum? We will take a look and dive deep into that. We'll talk some recruiting news with the latest Auburn, well, former Auburn commit that just flipped to Alabama. There's been rumblings over the past 24 hours about that. He made it official this morning. We will talk about that, as well as the MLB All-Star Game that happened last night. We will dive into kind of a little bit about what happened there. And as teams, you know, some players did well, some players did bad. One player, you know, that we'll talk about, potentially injured on his hand, and he will have to return to Tampa to be able to get looked at for that. But we'll be down there too for SEC Media Day, so you make sure you tune in on that side of things next week.
Yeah, should be a whole lot of fun. And again, the phone lines are open all of hour number two. If you would like to be a part of today's conversation, 334-321-1390. Any quick hitters that you have, anything regarding basketball, baseball, football. Again, Coach Ammo just got the official press announcement release, I believe at 10:20 tomorrow, and so going to do our best to get up there and meet him, talk with him, and see when we can try and get him on the phone lines to come and join us and talk a little bit of Auburn baseball. But excited about all of that news. But anything on your mind here this afternoon, give us a call, 334-321-1390. Text box is always open as well at 334-784-1685, 334-784-1685. OTL and the All-Star Game last night.
Correct.
I mean, it happened.
I tuned in for like the middle 4 to 5 innings of that game. I mean, it's hard to say a game was an All-Star Game is fantastic when one side is getting no hit through like 5.
Well, that, and it's really hard to say that the All-Star Game was fun when Cody Bellinger, who hit a 2-run single in the first inning, wins MVP. That sums up just about everything.
Bring back the All-Star. Like, I think that I understand the amount of players that get named to an All-Star Game and how baseball works. Is that you can't just have some guy play the whole game necessarily, especially on the mound, right? But like when I look at what like the NBA All-Star Game, yes, is the NBA All-Star Game. They don't play any defense for the most part. Yeah, that is very true. It is the MLB All-Star Game is a little bit more competitive.
They've made it more competitive.
Right. But it's the idea that like if a guy drops 40 or like Giannis, who goes like 20 for 20 from the field.
Mm-hmm.
That's an all-star MVP where you're like, yep, he deserves that. Put that on his tally when he's in the Hall of Fame. Yeah, he's a one-time all-star MVP. Like you used to have to earn that stuff. Cody Bellinger hits a single, and he just has good base runners on, and he gets the MVP nod. I woke up this morning, and I was like, again, only having watched the middle 4 innings of the game and just was like, okay.
To watch a lot of zeros put up on the board?
Legitimately, yeah. I watched just pitching masterclass.
Any day of the week, I am perfectly content with watching a 2-1 baseball game that is just, okay, a leadoff walk or a leadoff double. You now got to work around it. But both guys have 9 strikeouts. Both guys are absolutely dealing. And I know that that's the part of baseball that's kind of dying, but that's the part that I still absolutely love because you see the strategy of the game within the game. But at the All-Star Game, I don't want to think about strategy. And I know that they don't do scouting reports. They don't do anything like that. It's quite literally stepping into the box and just doing whatever. But
right. I think another part of that is having like a pitcher every inning, where instead of having a guy that's going to go 7 innings and he gets 12 strikeouts and it's, okay, what team has to dip into the bullpen first? That's part of the excitement. When I know he's only going to get 3 outs, it's hard for me to be really like invested in that. Like, oh, cool, this starter's coming out of the bullpen. This starter's coming out of the bullpen. This reliever, that's really good.
Yeah.
And then there's guys
here's 13 pitches.
Literally. Or here's 3. Congrats, that's your All-Star Game experience. I can't even say hang the jersey up because they do the team jerseys, which are sick. I like that back. I thought that was really cool. But it just, I don't know. I wish that it was a little bit more of a competitive. They're, again, a little bit more competitive. I know it's like you say that on a 3-1, 3-0 ball game, but it's like something compared to last year when it goes to a swing off. Like it gets brutally mauled in that regard.
Yeah, I mean, it's you even look at you mentioned the NBA All-Star game of the way that they have formatted it, and they've gone with the United States versus the world, or they've cut it up into four different teams, or even when they just did the Kobe tributes of, okay, you play three quarters of basically joking talent basketball of how far can you shoot, how high can you jump, who can do the 360 between the legs, but then the fourth quarter is, okay, leading points, whichever team is leading, the target points is 24 points, again, showing off to Kobe Bryant. It's 24 points away, and then you start to see, okay, there's some defense being played. There's some really cool moments, and, man, those final three or four possessions, especially if the target score is 122 or whatever the in the All-Star game, if the target score is 232
yeah.
and it's 228 to 226, and you're seeing players slap the floor, pull up their shorts, whatever the case may be, to legitimately get a stop or do what they need to do, and you're watching 10-on-10 of the very best people in the country playing a sport, I don't know what the answer would be, and I don't think a swing-off is the answer because then you're just having back-to-back nights of a home run derby. I don't really know the right answer to fix it, but find a way to bring something back. I know it used to be whichever team won the All-Star game
had
home field advantage in the World Series, and it's like, that's a big... It's a big get.
It's a big get, but what if you're like a team that doesn't get a lot of all-stars and gets hot? Well, obviously, I think, isn't it like mandatory every team gets one?
Yes.
Which, I don't know how I feel about that.
I don't know that I love that either.
I don't know if I love that because, like, do the New York Mets deserve an all-star? Like, yes, Juan Soto, really good at baseball, but, like, do the Arizona Diamondbacks, I don't know if they're at the bottom of their division, whoever the bottom is, do they deserve those?
Man, you're hating on the Diamondbacks? Man.
No, I love Corbin Carroll. I love Drew Jones, who's in their system. He whooped us in high school, whooped my high school in the state championship game. I don't know if I like that. I don't know the way baseball is played. How do you, like, are we going to say, like, kind of an all-star of, like, they have the weird rules? Or are you going to say, hey, aluminum bats?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to make the infield closer, you know? Like, or the outfield, like, shrink the distance needed?
You've seen the home run derby. Now get ready for the bunt derby. I've seen other countries put that on. Have you seen it?
I have not, but that's going to sound like my dinner YouTube video right
there. It is fantastic. It's literally two bullseyes halfway down the third baseline and halfway down the first baseline. And a pitcher throws, I think it's like a coach behind an L screen. I don't know why there's an L screen, but literally throwing, and you have to roll the ball into the it's
That's
actually
so awesome.
Actually pretty sweet.
See, but the problem is...
But the time, the attention span of that is all of... All right, you've seen two bunts, and I know it's going to happen for the next four rounds.
I will say, though, there's no way to, like, NBA All-Star game it or even Pro Bowl it in, like, add weird rules.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you'd agree with this statement. The more you mess around with that, we're getting a little bit closer to the banana ball type things.
You are, yeah.
Maybe for an All-Star game I get it, but... Again, it's the slippery slope, and I know you and I both agree on our opinions on banana ball as a legitimate sport, but it is a you're getting dangerously close. So I don't know what you can do there other than that. Did you see Caminero? I did see him get hit on the hand. That's brutal.
That is what really sucks about the All-Star game, and that's the reason that they've kind of gotten rid of the Pro Bowl type of stuff. Thankfully, theirs is, you know, basically end of the year, so playoff teams can either, or teams in the playoff, they can have their players opt out or whatever the case may be of, okay, thank you, I'm going to accept my Pro Bowl bid, but I'm not going to participate, whatever the case may be.
Or teams in the Super Bowl don't have them play.
Right, yes, exactly. But, man,
Did England just score? They did. Come on, England.
Wow. They did. They go up 1-0 on Argentina.
The VAR is going to look. And actually, Messi teleported the man past the last defender, and FIFA is giving the goal to Argentina.
It's actually being given to Auburn.
Auburn cashes in the Money in the Bank briefcase. They run in, and it's a three-team game.
Well, he definitely... He's not offsides there, not offsides there. Oh, what a pass.
Oh,
that's disgusting.
Beautiful. Proper, pure class.
Pure class from the crosser.
Oh,
yeah, that's pretty nice. But, yeah, the AL beat the NL 4-0. And yes, again, Junior Caminero, one of the young stars in the league. I mean, this is somebody that has the capability to be the face of the franchise, to be the face of Major League Baseball just because of, he's 22 or 23 and absolutely rakes. He took a fastball up and in, off the hands, was taken out of the All-Star game, and now his timeline is questionable on what his injury status is, his timeline to return. And if you're the Tampa Bay Rays, I mean, you're heartbroken, whether that was to keep him or to sell him or get somebody. I mean, that's a big time ask to have somebody like that, much less, again, very unfortunate that you had one of the stars go down in that fashion. Again, the National League had three hits. The Braves struggled. The Phillies very much struggled. The three hits came from Juan Soto, Otto Lopez, and so the Mets and the Marlins representing, yay, and then Pete Crow Armstrong of the Cubs. Those were the only three hits that the National League bats put on display in Philadelphia. That being said, all of that and this entire conversation leading up to one big comma but. It was enough to make a grown man cry. The Sandlot feature that was in the All-Star game was absolutely amazing. It was absolute cinema, as is this goal from Argentina. In the box,
that's a
penalty
kick.
Unless he's going to say they got ball first. He may have. Wow. But the Sandlot tribute.
Yeah, that's clean. Oh, that's so clean.
Yeah, it was. Of the gates opening and all of the kids riding across Citizens Bank Park with the only lights being the fireworks, because everybody knows the quote from Sandlot of one night a year you can play in the dark because there was just enough light from the fireworks to be able to play in the Sandlot. For America's 250th, I thought that could not have been more beautifully done. It just is unfortunate that that was the best thing that happened on the field.
Yeah, no, it is a just, baseball is America's sport. Baseball is America's pastime. And the complex relationship that America has had with baseball over the past couple, 100 plus years of it, just is uniquely American. The idea that, hey, we're going to go in the summer and just slow it down, mm-hmm. slow the busy work of the major cities, and we're just going to play some baseball is just it's uniquely American. And then in the 250th anniversary of the founding of our great country, a tribute like that, it is just pure class. And yes, am I going to make a little bit of a statement saying that the movie is set in Los Angeles and not Philadelphia? That's a true statement. But I'm willing to forgive it for the idea that it captured something in what baseball was during the time where this movie came out. One of the best movies of all time, in my opinion. Probably one of the top three sports movies of all time. And I think that they captured it perfectly with that, the fireworks. Every 4th of July, I think about that quote in that movie. And being so close to the 4th of July in when this game is played, the Midsummer Classic, just beautiful.
You heard it here first. Trip Upton, a big Wendy Peppercorn fan. That's
true.
I know.
True. I'm hand up, not proud man or man enough to say it. Squints. He was on some game.
He's a lucky
there.
Man.
He's a lucky man.
Lucky man.
I love how the end of the movie, when they're doing here's what happened.
Yeah.
He marries her.
It's fantastic.
So it works.
Look at that.
I do not recommend you doing that in real life.
Gentlemen, you all got a chance out there. Never say never. You're telling me there's always a chance. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Maybe talk a little bit of trade deadline type stuff. Before, again, we do have that Auburn football conversation that will probably carry us into a lot of tomorrow as well. Phone lines are wide open here in hour number two. If you can't tell, 334-321-1390. We're back right after this.
You're on the line with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton. Be a part of the show by calling 334-321-1390 or text us at 334-784-1685.
All right, we're back here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line, wrapping up our All-Star conversation with a little bit of trade deadline, not necessarily news, but just something to keep your eye out for, because August 3rd, very quickly approaching at 5 p.m. Central Time, is the official trade deadline, and ESPN released an article not long ago talking about some of the top moves for some of the contenders, written by Jeff Passan, and how the Braves' dream scenario would be C.J. Abrams, the shortstop for the Washington Nationals. I think that would be absolutely fantastic. Get him back to the Peach State, and Freddy Peralta would be the best type of match. Again, the starting pitcher for the New York Mets, because I think right now pitching is obviously a big-time weakness for the Atlanta Braves, but I know that Skubal was kind of in that conversation. I don't know if he is filtering out, or I don't know if that's just Anthopoulos being like, yeah, we're not going to pay as much as you think we're going to pay, because even when you're looking at the draft from this past year, the Braves went a little bit more of like a long-term budget type of deal and are still getting guys for under the quote-unquote slated value. And so do with that what you will. But again, August 3rd is the trade deadline, and the Braves right now sit as the number 3 overall seed in the NL, 53-38. They're first in the NL East, and so hopefully that will continue to work its way past the dog days of summer, and hopefully you see some of the batting averages get out of the dog days of summer as well.
Yeah, looking at some other teams on the deadline, the Chicago Cubs, their best match is someone that Auburn fans know pretty well, Casey Mize.
Braves are actually 55-40. Apologies. When this was written, they were a little bit better. Only a two game lead over the Phillies. But Mr. 1-1, Casey Mize.
Casey Mize, yes. Apologies.
Not Mike Wazowski.
Or Mizorowski.
Yes.
But no, yeah, he could be, they say he could be a Detroit Tiger moving over to the Chicago Cubs. Looking at some other ones, the Dodgers on this article, their weakness, and their best match and dream match is Tarik Skubal, because everyone knows that in the world where a lockout is possible, we need to have all the talent on one team and pay him. We'll pay him in 30 years and figure it out later. Just typical stuff from the Dodgers. The Miami Marlins, their best match is Aroldis Chapman from the Boston Red Sox. That would be a big pickup for them. I wouldn't want them to do that. I'd rather him go to Atlanta, and then just him and Rossell Iglesias just chuck baseballs as fast as they can at in the late game. But yeah, looking around, I think that the Braves, a team that has good pitchers that aren't performing necessarily great, and they have hitters that are good that aren't performing great. I don't know if they could sit on their laurels and say, you know what, we're going to bet on our guys, because the upside of that is, yeah, you do it, you don't have to spend more money, great. The downside of that is we're going to get knocked out of a postseason race when you've been one of the worst teams in baseball this summer since June started.
Is Sandlot a top baseball movie of all time?
I'd say, yeah. I mean, I asked you this before we came on this segment, but I mean, I think it captures the essence of baseball.
I think as a kid growing up watching it, yes. I mean, you obviously have
Moneyball,
the Moneyballs. You have the Bull Durhams. You have
Major League,
the
Major
Field of Dreams, which obviously is fantastic. They're having the Field of Dreams game not long from now, but it's hard to fit more of the baseball love as a little kid than The Sandlot.
Yeah, and I think, again, it's an America movie, too, because it's them going to the fair, it's them at the pool, it's them, you know, stealing their father's chewing tobacco and throwing up everywhere. That's American.
We'll take a break. We'll come over or come back and flip to the football side of things when we return.
Halfway through hour number two, you're on the line with Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7.
More minutes here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. Appreciate everybody for spending some time here with us on this warm Wednesday afternoon. He is Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin, and making our way through not necessarily planned all three major sports, but it's kind of how it's worked its way out. We talked basketball in hour number one. We talked more professional side of baseball to start hour number two, talking about the All-Star game, talking about the Sandlot feature being arguably the best part about the entire weekend, even though I was a big fan of the Home Run Derby and the format that it brought. But then we talked about some of the trade deadline news and then just the top baseball movies of all time. And Tripp brought it to my attention and said, you know what, Christian, my favorite baseball movie, maybe my favorite movie of all time is The Benchwarmers. And so
I think you may have lost
a little bit of credibility.
I didn't say that.
You said it is the greatest film ever put.
I just never said that. I said it was a solid movie.
In terms of quotable, though, The Benchwarmers is definitely up there.
You're still out. You're still fat.
Yes. Between The Benchwarmers and Grown Ups, are some of my
Fresh Maze.
There are
amazing.
It's fantastic.
It's amazing.
Amazing.
Those are two of the movies. Not as much Benchwarmers with Grown Ups. Grown Ups, you could play that on mute, and I could give you the entire. My parents brought me to watch it when I was
lucky,
like 13 or something. They didn't realize that it was as bad as it is. Not that now that's not bad at all, but
no.
Back then it was like, holy cow, we just took our child to go watch that movie. So
yeah, no, so my buddy has a like movie room in his basement. He was like the hangout house for us, obviously, like having that. And the amount of times we'd watch like Grown Ups 2. That was because that's my favorite comparatively to Grown Ups. I like Grown Ups. I really do. But Grown Ups 2 is just like it's the whole town throwing the party. And that and like the scene at the end where they're all in like 80s clothes or the 80s costumes, like all doing the fight. That is awesome. That's such a just fantastic movie.
Have you ever seen Summer Catch?
No.
We just got a text on the line text box saying that we heard you're a really, really big fan of Summer Catch. For no reason whatsoever. Fantastic film. Fantastic storyline. Fantastic plot.
It's a coming-of-age romantic comedy in the Cape Cod Baseball League with Freddie Prinze Jr.
I don't think you'd be as much of a fan of him.
Jessica Biel. Matthew Lillard. I mean, I'm running through the cast list right now. Am I missing something? Am I getting trolled?
No, not at all. I mean, if you want to click on Miss Jessica, you can figure out the reason why it's a great movie. Never mind. You can watch that. You can watch that for dinner when you eat dinner tonight.
Sure, man.
Still not okay. Never mind.
Nope. I'm lost here.
I don't know. I think we figured out why Tripp loves Benchwarmers.
Is she in that movie?
No, she is not, but
anyway.
She is the much older version of Wendy Peppercorn for Sandlot in terms of
I
forgot about that. That's a good movie though.
Yeah. Very attractive lady for sure.
Moving to
Auburn football. Why are we? I hate when you do this and you bring up something and I don't know.
I did it. Hey, the text box.
I know the
up.
Text box. And look, if you want to be in the text box and bring up whatever you want, go right ahead. I'm not going to stop you. I feel like I'm getting trolled here when you guys, like, it's like with the Nick Minicucci thing. Like, you said that, and I'm like, I don't understand. Like, I'm missing context here.
No, there's no missing context other than the fact of she is in the movie and plays her role very well.
Yeah, I have not heard of the movie, period, so that's probably why. Man. I don't, again, I'm missing context. Again, I'll go watch it. Sure, why not? We'll do a movie review like they do on The Drive with Brian Matthews.
We need to get Brian in here one day. We need to do just a joint show and talk about
4 hours.
Four hours of movie coverage, and
that's exactly what they want, but people want to hear on
two
ESPN.
Hours of that will be, oh, the header was missed. He went to the far post and he missed it. It's Argentina trying to tie it up with England with 13 minutes plus bonus time still to play. But no, an hour, almost 2 hours of that will be y'all sitting there in silence, and I'm watching grown-ups just quoting the entire movie. But we do move on from that, since we've gotten where we really needed to be in terms of the Auburn football.
Yes, going from summer catch to a pass catcher that flips from the Auburn Tigers, the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Yeah, not necessarily news that Auburn was hoping for, but I don't think it comes, especially as of the last 24, 48 hours, as too big of a surprise as Cedric Simmons flips to the Alabama Crimson Tide, one of the wide receivers that were set in this class. And I am not going to be somebody that plays the role of the troll, because we talked about a little bit about this yesterday of, yes, the Auburn media, but yes, just college football fans and being fans of, again, the sport and being just absolute nerds of college football, of understanding just how life works. I'm not going to sit there and play the role of, yeah, he was only a 3-star, we didn't want him. Yeah,
wasn't a take.
Didn't even matter. We didn't even want to keep him on scholarship. We took away whatever the case may be. Again, I don't know all of that insider information on if it was a little bit more of Auburn leaning towards another receiver that Simmons may have felt. Again, whatever the case may be, but he flips from Auburn to Alabama. All of that being said, you look at Auburn's 2027 football recruits, and now you only have 25 of them, and you didn't move in your placement. You still sit as the number 11 team in the 2027 football commits. And, again, not that I am lessening the fact of Auburn losing a recruit, but when you look through the recruits and you see Deshaun Hall, you see Braylon Odor, I think that brings a little bit more comfort back to you.
Yeah.
Just in terms of already having guys in that position room that you're expecting to make their way to the Auburn Tigers, plus many more that have not committed that I think Auburn wants to still be in the race for, again, making their way to signing day. And so, yes, the 3-star Cedric Simmons has flipped from the Auburn Tigers to the Alabama Crimson Tide. And, again, the Iron Bowl social media troll world has just gone absolutely nuclear. I guess I stand indifferent, because honestly, the word commitment has taken such little value with my brain in the everyday world now of, even if it did happen to be a big, big name that Auburn lost, it's like, yeah, it hurts, but it never really felt like he was on the team anyways, just because of the fear. And again, I don't mean that as Alex Golish, a shot at him whatsoever, or anybody in the staff, just the world of college athletics of, man, I don't get excited as I did before about the word commitment until I see a name written on paper. And even then, you feel as if sometimes you don't need to get excited about it because of the way college sports and college athletics work. That being said, still upsetting to lose a commit and losing it to Alabama.
Right. And Cedric Simmons, you know, I'm not going to, again, I agree with you. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, you know, 3-star, you Alabama, Kalen DeBoer needs to overpay for a wide receiver. I'm not going to say that, because I think Cedric Simmons is really good. And I think whether he was going to be a part of Auburn's class or not, I think that he's going to find success, and I would not be surprised if he goes to a 4-star, given his statistics.
Did you say great success?
Something like that.
Talk about another quotable movie.
Yes, Borat, and fantastic, quotable movie.
I don't know. Fantastic based off how you look at it.
Yeah. But look, I think Cedric Simmons has talent. I think he's a good wide receiver, and I think that Alabama fans are going to be happy with him. And it's a guy that I wanted to stay at Auburn, hopefully. But again, like you said, it's not a problem necessarily looking at the – again, you have DeShon Hall, who – was rated higher and is a different kind of wide receiver than Cedric Simmons. And you're going to go find people in the class that are going to be late risers or in the transfer portal, especially with the 5-for-5 and having a lot of young wide receivers. Those are going to be guys that are going to get snaps and reps at that position. So I'm not really worried in the terms of losing production. Yeah, it stinks losing a recruit to Alabama. You never want to. It's always great when you win a recruit over Alabama. But I think that the recruiting season is not over. Just as easy as he flipped to Alabama, he could flip back to Auburn if Auburn wants to change their offer, pitch something different. But I think he's a talented kid. I hope for the best in terms of success, except when he's playing Auburn, because at the end of the day, he's making the best decision for him, or at least what he perceives to be the best decision for him. And again, he's a talented wide receiver, so I can't really – I'm not going to get in the weeds of the – he's a three-star, three-star you, Auburn can't do this, Auburn can do that, when 99% of the people on the trolls right now said the exact opposite opinion 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, exactly. Alabama moves up to the 39th overall class in 2027. They have 14 commits, two of them five-stars, two of them four-stars, and 13 three-stars. They have Elijah Haven, who is the 10th-ranked player in the class. He's the number three quarterback in the country, the five-star, basically unanimous regardless of wherever you look. They have Asani Gales as well, the wide receiver from IMG, as the 34th overall player in the country. And then Trent Seaborn from Thompson Alabaster. I know a lot of people here listening know a lot about that name. And so still very interested to see, because you usually don't have two very prolific and high-profile quarterbacks in the same class. And so interested to see how that continues to work its way out. But again, you can say what you want to say. We've had this discussion for many years now. And if Auburn's able to meet their quota at bare minimum of the 6.5 win totals that they are projected, and you see the trajectory work its way up, right? That is something that is so crucial, and we're excited to be able to dive into a lot of that when we get to Tampa about the proof of concept, because talent has not been the issue whatsoever for the Auburn Tigers. It is piecing that together. It's getting the culture right, getting the locker room bought in, and then obviously having the coaches that are there that can put the guys in the best situations to win for all four quarters, not just the first half or whatever the case may be. But for the entire contest, you now have a couple of different storylines about so many guys working their way up from the G5, having something to prove, yet you feel as if now you are solidified in the coaching staff being able to make those right decisions in game. And so weird how that dynamic shifts, yet again, you win the football games, you take away a little bit of the dramatics in terms of what the recruiting or lack thereof can do, because if Auburn meets that quota, you expect that number to continue to rise as Argentina strikes it from outside the penalty box to tie the game at 1 in the 85th minute. What a strike.
Yeah, I was about to say, England might be running away with it, like mentally, but no, yeah, they were able to get it back. But, you know,
This is Argentina. Why score in the first 80 minutes of the game when you can score like 20 times in the last 10-plus bonus time?
Hey, you know what? Pressure makes diamonds sometimes, so that's what they're trying to do. But no, I think that this is so early in the class, and you are currently pitching, and yes, the pitches are succeeding, but you're pitching a program and a vision that has not become fully realized yet.
Yeah.
You haven't played a game yet. You have yet to even do a coin toss. So it's not a bad thing if the proven coaches right now can just say, hey, you know what you're getting in Alabama. You know what you're getting at Georgia. You know what you're getting at Ohio State. Auburn will get that, and if what they're selling comes to fruition, there's going to be a lot more people wanting to go to the Auburn Tigers than to look elsewhere in that class.
We'll take our final break. We'll come back and wrap up the Wednesday edition of On the Line, talk about the exciting day tomorrow that's to come, and maybe some topics that we'll dive into. We'll be back to wrap up the Wednesday edition of On the Line right after this.
You are On the Line with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrapping up the Wednesday edition of On the Line, the Argentina crowd is back into it. Again, my buddy Aiden, who's at the game, sent us all a video of the crowd just losing their absolute mind because it feels like it's like 75-25 Argentina fans over England. And yeah, you talked about it where it felt like England just had to basically win the ball back just a couple more times. But Argentina with Enzo Fernandez, the equalizer, to tie the game at one with full time being played, but 9 minutes of added time. And don't get us started on...
Well, don't get you started.
Sure. We only have 4 more minutes here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line, but we're actually going to be here for 9 more minutes based off of the commercials and based off of our movie conversation that we had. And so stick around. Because of that, we have 9 more confirmed minutes, but you never know. It could be 20 minutes. It could be
more. The music is just going to start playing.
It's just going to start playing, but then we're just going to keep talking over it, and we are not going to go to break because that's essentially what is happening here. So
that'd be kind of cool.
It's a show that you don't know when it ends. It ends when we run out of stuff to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, that would be like just like full filibuster show.
Just
that'd be hilarious.
We are not allowed to open the computer. We have to just sit there and fill information however we can.
That would be
oh my goodness.
Off the post.
Holy cow.
Wow.
Messi has the ball on the near side, the corner.
Oh, my goodness.
My gosh.
England. Collapse of the year. He's 100% onsides.
It's the same thing, man. Argentina doesn't score for 85 minutes. And then it's like desperation hits, and they realize that they're Argentina again. Again.
It's like
tying this together, a team that was in Lee County, Alabama, playing in Jordan-Hare Stadium, is now 6 minutes away for playing for the World Cup Finals.
At least a football team that played in Jordan-Hare Stadium can close in the late in games. But yeah, insane. actually incredible.
I'm sorry, I did not mean to shut you down there.
I thought you'd find that funny. It's okay. I see where my place is. Boom.
He just
levitates in the air.
That's crazy. 2-1 Argentina
Messi
over
with the
England.
Assist.
You still got 7-ish minutes to go and probably more now because of the goal. But, again, the fact that this team was playing inside Jordan-Hare Stadium just a couple of months ago, a month and a week ago, is a wild thought. And now the entire country, the entire world is watching Argentina with, again, another comeback in Atlanta. Absolutely wild. Well, it's a pretty solid way to end the show, I would say.
I mean, yeah, we still got another minute before the music's going to start kicking us out of here, but make sure to stay tuned. Tomorrow we're going to talk to Brad Law and Chris Gordy, hopefully.
Yeah.
To be able to get their opinions as we go into SEC Media Days. Christian will be appearing on the Max Roundtable at 11:20 local time.
Yeah.
That's your usual time slot, so tune into that. That'll be right here on ESPN 106.7, ESPN AU, or the Radio Alabama app. And, yeah, I think that's all we got. I mean, the drive will be coming up after us, just doing some promotional stuff.
Yeah.
You know, guys, we're in Tampa next week. And it'll be the same 7 hours of live local coverage there as well. And, yeah, I think...
So we're just going to sit here in silence for the final 15 seconds or no, just kidding. No, again, Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network, Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast, talked to each of them about what they expect to see from each of those teams. We talked with Brad a little bit more generically about what he wants to hear and see from Alex Golish, but now that we know the three players that are going with Alex Golish, I think it'll be really, really cool to hear his opinion on everything. And again, yes, we are just a couple of days away where we will be in Tampa, Florida. The Max Roundtable on the line and the drive from Digital Drive in Tampa, Florida. Continuing to be very, very excited about more information that we are getting, more interviews that we are having confirmed, more possibilities that we'll have. And you'll just have to stay tuned to see what all we got coming for you. We'll start dropping some more names tomorrow afternoon. And that's where we'll be right here between 2 and 4 on ESPN 106.7. He's Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. We appreciate everybody for being here with us. And sports are so much better with an opinion. Whether you love them, whether you hate them, we're back tomorrow to talk all about them, and we hope you'll be there to join us.